Our scripture lesson this morning is from two places. First reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 13. And if you'd like to follow along, it's found on page 1150 in the Pew Bible in front of you. And then second reading is from Gospel of Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. So I'll read the first reading, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 11 through 13, and this is the Living Bible translation. Dear brothers and sisters, I close my letter with these last words. Be joyful, grow to maturity, encourage each other, live in harmony and peace. Then the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet each other with a sacred kiss. All of God's people here send you their greetings. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Our second reading is from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. If you're able, would you please stand for the reading of the gospel? Jesus is now getting ready to ascend into the heaven. So they are all gathered in this mountain, and this is Jesus' parting words. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Gracious God, we thank you for this space, for this time, for us to gather to worship you and to hear your words read and proclaimed. Lord, we pray that these words will become for us a source of life, source of energy, source of purpose, source of mission, so that we can continue to go forth as your church into the future, seeking to know Jesus Christ deeper and making him known in the world through everything that we do. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here ministering to each person, helping us to be sensitive to your presence, to hear your voice, to experience your love through these words that are going to be proclaimed. May you minister to us. Give us hope, give us strength, and inspire us for your ministry. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Both of the scripture lessons that we just read, they are the last words of sort. Second Corinthian reading is Paul's last words, concluding his letter to his beloved church. Matthew reading is Jesus' last words in his last moment here on earth. There is some sacred and solemn value to the last words. people take more seriously the last word of a person. I think I understand why. Because the last words come from the heart. I've been praying and thinking for the last 4 months about what to say to you. What words of grace, comfort, and encouragement can I say that will be beneficial? So, three things. First, stay awake. And secondly, stay focused. And lastly, stay in love with God. So, what the heck with stay awake? Not too many of you doze off during worship service. So that's not what I mean when I say stay awake. In January, I attended Bishop's Convocation, and the speaker talked about how communities and organizations have a soul, much like individuals. And so as listening to that talk, I began to think, so what does the soul of Embury Church look like? And it dawned on me that the image that I got as I was thinking about the soul of Embury Church was this gentle, gentle soul waking up from a slumber. And just, you know, waking up into this new reality, into a new mission, into a new purpose. So what I imagined was this lovely, gentle soul rising up from a little nap, you know, like stretching and trying to looking around, feeling what's going on. In the last couple years, what I saw happen through the work of Vision Team and through the work of the leadership here at Embury is that you have begun to recognize that we as a church, it's not just about us here, but it's about making Jesus known in the world. It's about reaching outside, out of these four walls into community, reaching people, telling them about Jesus, sharing our faith. And as we began to awaken into that mission and purpose, last 2 years, we were busy. We were out there among the crowd, in the community, trying to share our faith. So on Little Silver Day, we set up a table and we prayed with people. And that whole summer, we prayed for the people through those prayer chains. And not only we prayed for and with people, but we were also out there serving. Finding different ways that we can serve others. So some of you were there popping popcorns, and yeah, Wade had fun. And then there was the Little Silver 5K, where some of you were there early in the morning running the little children's run. During Christmas season, we were out there caroling, whether people listened or not. But actually, there were quite a lot of people who enjoyed our singing, and not only that, they joined in singing together. We were there serving meals for Sandy volunteers There were just many things that we did outside of our church walls so that we can bring Jesus out there. You have woken up. So my encouragement to you is stay awake. Don't go back to sleep. Don't fall asleep again. But stay awake. Continue to be passionate about making Jesus known in the world by reaching out in His name to wherever you are needed, to wherever you can serve. Then second thing is stay focused. Stay focused on what you are about as a church of Jesus Christ. I've said this several times before. See, if you look around, God has handpicked each and every one of you and brought you here and formed this community in this particular combination because there is something beautiful, something wonderful that you have that you could share with the world. There is the love of Jesus Christ shared every single time we gather. There is the presence of the Holy Spirit that is evident when we gather, worship together, and serve together. We are here to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. That's our special mission. And this is Jesus' last word to us, to the church. This is what we call the Great Commission. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. This is why God has put us together in this particular combination for such time as this. A story is told about a church in Atlanta. A person noticed in the yellow pages in the listings of restaurants an entry for a place called the Church of God Grill. The Church of God Grill. A peculiar name aroused his curiosity, so he called the number. And a man answered with cheery, "Hello, Church of God Grill." So he asked, "How did you come to that name? Obviously, you are an eatery, a restaurant. How did you come to have that name?" And this is what the person the other end said. "Well, we had a little church down here, and we started selling chicken dinners after church on Sunday to help pay for the bills. Well, people liked the chicken. And we did such a good business that eventually we cut back on church service, and after a while, we just closed down the church altogether and kept on serving chicken dinners. We kept the name we started with, and that's Church of God Grill." See, the easiest thing in the world is to lose sight of the mission of the church. Many years ago, there was a brilliant theologian by the name of Reinhold Niebuhr, and he noticed something and wrote about an interesting that happens in groups, organizations, and of course, churches. He said, put any group together, no matter how high and noble their initial purpose may be. And it doesn't take too long before two things begin to happen. One, they start becoming self-serving. And then, two, they become self-protective. And when that happens, their own preservation becomes the most important thing to them, and that their mission or their reason for existence go by the wayside. The classic example of this is the IBM Corporation. I think we all seen their rise and their fall. In their 80s and up to early 90s, IBM was the top manufacturer. They had most of the market share on computers, correct? You know, everybody heard of IBM. Now, if you ask 20-somethings, they probably don't really know IBM very much. They know other names. At the height of their business, something happened. And rather than continuing on their incline of focusing on researching and producing the best machine that there is, which that's what they were known for, they began to look inward. They began to build really nice headquarters. They began to do things to preserve that height that they enjoyed. And see, anytime we go into that mode of preserving something is when you start declining. And as soon as the decline started, there were startup companies like Apple, Hewlett-Packard, Dell, and you know, those companies began to cut into the pie of the market share. My friends, if we lose focus of our purpose as a church, making disciples for Jesus Christ, or for this particular community to know Jesus Christ and making him known in the world, it's only a matter of time. We will become obsolete. If we lose our focus and get distracted by self-preservation, by worrying about what's going to happen in the future, by the way we've always done, we will go the way of the Church of Atlanta or the IBM. We must remember our mission, our purpose. Stay focused to fulfill our purpose, to know Jesus Christ and make him known in the world. Then lastly, I want to encourage you, stay in love with God. Stay in love. The relationship that we have with God is not a casual relationship. It's not someone that we call up once a week or once a month just to say, hello, how are you, how things are going. The relationship that we have with God, it's passionate, loving relationship. See, you are the beloved sons and daughters of God. God has claimed you as his own at your baptism. And God has loved you from the very beginning, even before you were born. When you were still in your mother's womb, the Bible says God knew you. God has led you in your life, redeemed you through his son Jesus Christ. God has invested in you very heavily because he has this amazing love for you. And because of that love, Jesus promises that I am with you always to the end of the age. To the end of the age. So, here's the thing. Whether you like it or not, if you want to ditch God, I'm sorry, that will not happen. Because God will continually seek after you, continually knock on your door, continually tug at your heartstring until you turn around, until you seek to have that loving relationship with God. So our relationship with God is like all relationship. It needs constant tending and developing. As you all know, as we said before, Dana and I, we have very good relationship. I would like to think so. Tomorrow we will be celebrating our 29th anniversary. So that 29, that's a long, long time. And even after all these years, I like to say we are in love. See, we are able to keep this relationship the way it is because we work at it every day to make sure that our relationship continues to grow and deepen, and that we stay in love with each other. So we express our love for each other by saying, I love you. And sometimes it's more of the one way than both ways. Thank you. We make sure we express it. By making time for each other, by communicating, by doing things to show each other that you are special to me. You know, just because we have good relationship, if we said, okay, you know what, we're good. So if we stop making efforts, if we stop making the time, if we stop expressing our feelings toward one another, how long do you think it will go before our love is cold as rocks? It doesn't take long. Same thing with God. God promised that God is with us all the time. But most of the time, it's God just chasing after us. Hey, Grace, I'm here. Do you want to have a cup of tea? Let's have a 5-minute conversation. Hey, Grace, I'm here. I see you're having a difficult time. Why don't you ask me to give you some wisdom, to help you with it, to give you strength? You know, God is way over there usually, and I'm here doing my things. To stay in love with God, it means that we make the time to worship, make the time to read the scripture, make the time to be in conversation with God, make the time to express our love to God. By loving others. And when we do that, that's when we continue to stay in love with God. God is at work, and Jesus is with us, even in the midst of change and transition. Thus, Paul's last words to the church, be joyful. Grow to maturity, encourage each other, live in harmony and peace. Because we can. Because of who we are. Your new pastor, her name is Hyun-hee. I know it's not easy to say, but I know you could say it. You know, I think this is a really good opportunity for you to cross that line into a place where you feel uncomfortable, but with practice, it gets better. And with time, as you build relationship with her, you will come to love her again. You will come to work with her and serve together. This is what I believe. God has gifted her for ministry. And God is putting her here at Embry at this time because she brings a gift and graces that Embry needs right now. Maybe I was only to be here 4 years and I had my mission, and I would like to think that I have accomplished my mission to wake you up and to kind of set you on the course. And Pastor Hyun-hee is coming in to take you to the next level, to be that church that will please God and proclaim Jesus. With Pastor Hyun-hee, you will need to give her your full attention when she speaks. She's only been here a little less than 10 years. She's working on her PhD. She's super smart. I know she will lead you in a very deep spiritual way, but she does have an accent. And sometimes she says things in a way, it's sort of funny way, only because she just doesn't know how to say it. You know, English is not an easy language to speak. You know, with the long vowels and short vowels. So she will need all of your full attention. But if you pay attention to her, there are gems that you can dig up in your conversation, in your relationships, and you will be blessed. She's very nervous, and she says she's especially nervous because she's coming after me. She was, you know, and I was like, what do you mean? I know, I've been assuring her, don't worry, this is the most lovely congregation I have ever encountered. They will be gentle with you. They will love you. They will help you. So please don't make a liar out of me. It has been an honor and privilege to be your pastor, serving you and journeying with you for these last 4 years. And I have to say, it was the best 4 years of my ministry, where I felt so loved, respected, and you honored me with your kindness. And for that, I'm very grateful. If there is anything I have done or not done that hurt you, I ask for your forgiveness. Please understand that starting July 1, Pastor Hyun-hee will be your pastor, who will love you, serve you, encourage you, lead you, and guide you in maturing in your faith. Although I cannot and will not come back to perform any pastoral services and duties, you will remain in my heart, very special friend. I will be keeping you in my thoughts and my prayers. So, my friends, stay awake. Stay focused. Stay in love with God. This is my prayer for you. And may you be a church whose sole purpose is to know Jesus Christ and make him known in the world. May you be a church that is empowered by the Holy Spirit. A church that is going out into the streets, into the world, with spiritual power and authority. The Holy Spirit compels us to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ in the world. You can do it because Jesus is with you always to the end of the time. May your hearts be filled with love for God and for the people of God. Amen.